again. This is Reverend Joseph Caesar coming to you from BBS Radio. I'm glad to be able to reach you this afternoon. I pray that this would be a blessing to you today. I would like to speak to you from Matthew chapter 8, which beginning from verse 1 to 4. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. He said, can thou make me clean? Wow. Of all the diseases known in the East, the leprosy was the most dreaded. Its incurable and contagious character and its horrible effect upon the victim filled the bravest with fear. Among the Jews, it was regarded as a judgment on account of sin. Deep-rooted, ineradicable, deadly, it was looked upon as a symbol of sin. By the ritual law, the leper was pronounced unclean. Like one already dead, he was shut out from the habitation of men. Whatever he touched was unclean. The air was polluted by his breath. One who was suspected of having the disease must present himself to the priest, who were to examine and decide his case. If pronounced a leper, he was sure isolated from his family, cut off from the congregation of Israel, and was doomed to associate with those only who were similarly affected. The law was inflexible in its requirement. And even kings and rulers were not exempt. A monarch who was attacked by this terrible disease must yield up the scepter and flee from society. Away from his friends and his kindred, the leper must bear the curse of his malady. He was obliged to publish his own calamity, to rend his garments and sound the alarm, warning all to flee from his contaminating presence. With this loud cry, you will hear him saying, unclean, 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 coming in mournful tones from the lonely exile was a signal held with fear and abhorrence. In the region of crisis ministry, there were many of these sufferers, and the news of his work reached many of them, kindling a gleam of hope. But since the days of Elisha the prophet, such a thing had never been known as the cleansing of one upon whom his disease had fastened. They dare not expect Jesus to do for them what he had never done for any man. There was wonder, however, in whose heart faith began to spring up. Yet the man knew not how to reach Jesus. Debarred, he was from contact with his fellow man. How could he present himself to the healer? How? And he questioned if Christ would heal him. Would he stoop to notice one believed to be suffering under the judgment of God? Would he not, like the Pharisees and even the physicians, pronounce a curse upon him and warn him to flee from the hands of men? He thought of all that had been told to him of Jesus. Not one who had sought his help, but had been turned away. The wretched man determined to find a savior. Though shut out from the cities, it might be that could cross his path in so many byways along the mountain road, or to find Christ as he was teaching outside the town. The difficulties were great, very great difficulties. But this was his only hope for his cleansing, his only hope. The leper is guided to the Savior. Jesus is teaching beside the lake, and the people are gathered about, standing afar off. The leper catches a few words from the Savior's lips. He sees him laying his hands upon the sick. He sees the lame, the blind, the paralytic, and those dying of various maladies rise up in health, praising God for the deliverance and for their deliverance. Faith strengthened in his heart. He draws nearer and yet nearer to the gathered throng. The restrictions laid upon him, the safety of the people, and the fear with which all men regard him are forgotten. He thinks only of the blessed hope of healing. He had no other thought that captures him but that blessed hope of being healed. He is a loathsome spectacle. The disease had made frightful inroads, and in his decaying body is horrible to look upon. A sight of him, the people fall back in their terror. They crowd upon one another in their eagerness to escape from the contact with him. Some try even to prevent him from approaching Jesus, but in vain did they try. He neither sees nor hears them. All he concerned is for his healing. He neither sees nor hears them. Their expression of loathing are lost upon him. He then sees only the Son of God. He hears only the voice that speaks life to the dying, pressing Jesus. He casts himself at his feet with a loud cry, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And immediately Jesus replied with a heart of compassion, a heart of love and concern, looked him in his eyes and said, "I will be thou made clean," and laid his hand upon him. Immediately a change passed over the leper. His flesh became healthy. The nerves sensitive. The muscles firm. The rough, scaly surface peculiar to leprosy disappeared. And the soft glow, like that upon the skin of a healthy child, took place. In 2 Corinthians chapter 17, say, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things, every other thing that was there would pass away, and every other thing else becomes new. And immediately a change passed over the leper. His flesh became healthy. The nerves sensitive, the muscles firm, the rough scaly surface peculiar to leprosy disappeared, and a soft glow like that upon the skin of a child, a healthy child, took its place. Jesus charged the man not to make known the work that had been wrought, but straightway to present himself with an offering at the temple. Such an offering could not be accepted until the priest had made examination and pronounced the man wholly free from the disease. However, unwillingly they might be to perform this service, they could not evade an examination and decision of the case. The words of Scripture show with what urgency Christ enjoined upon the man the necessity of silence and protection. He straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away and said unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, an offer for the cleansing, those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Had the priest known the facts concerning the healing of the leper, their hatred of Christ might have led them to render a dishonest sentence. Jesus desired the man to present himself at the temple before any rumors concerning the miracle. Thus, an impartial decision could be secured, and the restored leper would be permitted to unite once more with his family and friends. There were other objects which Christ had in view in enjoining silence on the man. The Savior knew that his enemies were ever seeking to limit his work and to turn the people from him. He knew that if healing of the leper were noise abroad, other sufferers from this terrible disease would crowd about him, and the cry would be raised that the people would be contaminated by the contact with them. So many of the lepers would not use the gift of health as to make it a blessing to themselves or to others. And by drawing the lepers about him, he would give occasion for the law charge that he was breaking down the restriction of the ritual law. This, and thus his work in preaching the gospel, would be hindered. So you see, the event justified Christ's warning. A multitude of people had witnessed the healing of the leper, and they were eager to learn of the priest's decision. When the man returned to his friend, there was great excitement. Notwithstanding the caution of Jesus, the man made no further effort to conceal the fact of his cure. Who could have? Who could have? He would be jumping for joy, jumping over ropes, over mountains and valleys. He should be. It would indeed have been impossible to conceal it. But the more the leper published the matter abroad, conceiving that it was only the modesty of Jesus which laid this, that it was only that modesty, that restriction upon him, he went about proclaiming the power of the great healer. He did not understand that every such manifestation made the priests and elders more determined to destroy Jesus. He was not concerned about that. He was concerned about his deliverance. And therefore, the restored man felt that the boon of health was very precious. He rejoiced in the vigor of manhood and in his restoration to his family and society, and felt it possible to refrain from giving glory to the physician who had made him whole. But his act in blaming abroad the matter resulted in hindering the Savior's work. It caused the people to flock to him in such multitude that he was forced for a time to cease his labor. So every act of Christ's ministry was far-reaching in its purpose. It comprehended more than appeared in the act itself. So in the case of the leper, while Jesus ministered to all who came unto him, he yearned to bless those who came not, while he drew the publication and the publicans, the heathens, and the Samaritans. He longed to reach the priests and teachers who were shut in by prejudice and tradition. He left untried no means by which they might be reached. In sending the healed leper to the priest, he gave them a testimony calculated to disarm their prejudices. Jesus says, "See that thou tell no man." Now, notice the leper did not ask Jesus to heal him. He made a statement, "Thou canst make me clean." And Jesus says, "I am willing. You are being cleansed." The Pharisees had asserted that Christ's teaching was opposed to the law which God had given through Moses. But his direction to the cleansed leper to present an offering according to the law disproved this charge. It was really sufficient testimony for all who were willing to be convinced. The leaders at Jerusalem had sent out spies to find some pretext for putting Christ to death. Always somebody is there lurking in the dark to hinder progress. He responded by giving them an evidence of his love for humanity, his respect for the law, and his power to deliver from sin and death. Thus he bore witness of them. "They have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. And you can find that in Psalms 109 Psalms. He who on the mountain gave the precept. Love your enemies. Himself exemplified the principle. Not rendering evil for evil. Or railing for railing. But contrarywise, bless him. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, and 1 Peter 39, verse 9. The same priest who condemned the leper to banishment certified his cure. This sentence, publicly pronounced and registered, was a standing testimony for Christ. And as the healed man was reinstated in the congregation of Israel upon the priest's own assurance that there was not a taint of the disease upon him, he himself was a living witness for his benefactor. Joyfully, so joyfully, he presented his offering and magnify the name of Jesus. The priests were convinced of the divine power of the Savior. Opportunity was granted them to know the truth and to be profited by the light. Rejected, it would pass away, never to return. By many, the light was rejected, yet it was not given in vain. Many hearts were moved for a time, made no sign. During the Savior's life, his mission seemed to call forth little response of love from the priests and teachers. But after his ascension, a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. You can find that in Acts chapter 6, verse 7. The work of Christ in cleansing the leper from his terrible disease is an illustration of his work in cleansing the soul from sin. The man who came to Jesus was full of leprosy. Its deadly poison permeated his whole body. The disciples sought to prevent their master from touching him. For he who touched the leper became himself unclean. But in laying his hands upon the leper, Jesus received no defilement. His touch imparted life-giving power. The leprosy was cleansed. Thus, it is with the leprosy of sin, deep-rooted, deadly, and impossible to be cleansed by human power. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart fails. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness. There is no soundness in it whatsoever at all, but wounds and bruises, putrefying sores. But Jesus, coming to dwell in humanity, receives no pollution. His presence has healing virtues for the sinner. Whoever will fall at his feet, saying in faith, Lord, Lord, if thou wilt, thou hands, make me clean, shall hear the same answer. I will be thou made clean. In some instances of healing, Jesus did not at once grant the blessing soul. But in the case of leprosy, no sooner was the appeal made than it was granted. When we pray for earthly blessing, the answer to our prayer may be delayed, or God may give us something other than we ask. But not so when we ask for deliverance from sin. It is always His will to cleanse us from sin, to make us His children, and to enable us to live a holy life. Christ gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Galatians 1:4. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. 1 John 5:14 and 15. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the healing of the paralytic at Capernaum, Christ again taught the same truth. It was to manifest His power to forgive sins, and the miracle was performed. And the healing of the paralytic also illustrates other precious truths. It is full of hope and encouragement, and from its connection with the cavilling Pharisees, it has a lesson of warning as well. Like the leper, this paralytic had lost all hope of recovery. His disease was the result of a life of sin, and his suffering was embittered by remorse. He had long before appealed to the Pharisee and the doctor, hoping for relief from mental suffering and physical pain. But they coldly pronounced him incurable and abandoned him to the wrath of God. You see, the Pharisees regarded affliction as an evidence of this divine displeasure, and they held themselves aloof from the sick and the needy. Yet often, these very ones who exalted themselves as holy were more guilty than the sufferers, the condemned. I want to let you know, my brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen who are listening at this moment, Jesus would go the extra mile for you at any cost. There is nothing too big or too small that Christ can do for you. You only have to open your mouth and say, because He made His promises and He will keep His promises. He is not man that He would lie or slack concerning his promises. Whatever you want, whatever the circumstances may be, your mountain may be high, but you can say to that mountain with your faith, get up and go yonder, or come lower. There is nothing that God can do. Look at what Christ did with the leper. The leper said, if thou willing, if you are willing, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He didn't say to Christ, please make me clean. He said, if you are willing. And Christ took it and says, yes, I am willing. Be thou clean. And I pray for you this evening to be cleansed by the word of God. I thank you for listening, and I pray for you and your family to have a blessed week, and the brothers Doug and Don for BBS radio station. May God richly bless you all. May his precious blood cover you and protect you all through the week. In Jesus' name, amen.